And welcome back to another episode of Commission Impossible. This is episode 19. Ryan, did you ever think we'd get to 19 episodes?
Yeah, it took us a while, but I thought we would get there eventually. We've had some breaks, and we're kind of a spurty pod, I guess.
A spurty pod. I think we're if my math is correct, this is the 19th month that we've been doing this show.
Okay.
We've only done 19 episodes.
That's okay.
That's okay. That's okay. It's probably even really close to our 19 month anniversary, if that's a thing. So I
used to celebrate those like in high school, right?
Yeah, I suppose. So I'm Scott Fish. Ryan McDowell is the other voice. If you're listening to this, I'm sure you know who we are. So let's get into it. We're going to start this episode with some Twitter stuff. In previous episodes, we've talked about ESP, which is eliminated starting points, I believe it was. Is that right, Ryan?
We probably should look that up.
Eliminated something points.
I think that's right.
Once you're eliminated, your points rack up, and that's how you determine draft order. People had problems with this. People found loopholes, and I think we found loopholes too, but there were even more loopholes. Dustin from Twitter said that kills teams that are eliminated due to injury, you know, so they're not able to rack up the points, so they can't get a bet. But in fairness, if the injury is a good enough player, maybe they don't deserve a good pick. I don't know how that works. And Nathan Powell chimed in, you should have to blind declare when your season is over. Not just eliminated. You don't do it when you're eliminated. You declare my season's over. And if that's week one, if that's week five, whatever, and then you start racking up the points. That was an interesting way to consider doing it.
Yeah. So
I didn't like it either, but sorry, Nathan.
So Nathan decided pretty quickly that this was the best idea pretty much that he had ever had.
Did he? I missed some of that.
Yes. He was very proud of that. And I have seen some similar, similar ideas to that, as far as you kind of, you know, it's like Michael Scott declaring bankruptcy, right? You declare when your season is over, even if it's week one or week three or whatever.
Right.
Now that was not the original idea that I have seen in the past was not mixed in with the ESP. So I think Nathan's version of that could be better.
I think this is in place of ESP. It's a similar thing. Just you declare instead of your team is eliminated.
Yeah. It just feels like one of those rules that, it feels like I'm missing something, and if you dive in, there's going to be some nasty ramifications.
Wow. That's like, I don't know what to say now, because that's exactly what I was thinking, is that I feel like there's a lot more to this. And once you do it, there's something. I think it's just a quirk for a league. I don't know that it's a good way or a better way or a worse way to do draft order. I think it's just a way, you know, it's just another way. And I don't know that there's pitfalls or not. I haven't thought it through fully. I think it's just one of those things that could be an interesting quirk to your league. And if you do it, I'm sure there's going to be some kind of something going on, but who knows what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's move on. But we just want to throw that out there. If someone is listening and is like, hey, I think that's a great idea, I want to put it in my league, you blind declare when your season is over, then you start accumulating whatever starter points you accumulate. That's how you determine draft order. It's interesting. So we put it out there for people to potentially think about. All right, next one. Someone on Twitter whose name I did not put down. Sorry, buddy. We start public flash sale auctions on players we want to sell. We must move the player within 24 hours if the reserve is met. i.e. a third round pick. I think that's just an example. They use Facebook Messenger for the whole league. Lots of bidding. I think leagues have done this in the past, like not leagues in general, but teams have done this. Like I've done this before. I'm like, I'll take the best offer within the third, within the next 24 hours, as long as it's at least this. I've done that before, but making your, having this be a aspect of your league, that's, you know, that's interesting. I feel like we've talked about stuff like that.
Yeah. So I have seen, back to Nathan, I've seen Nathan do this. I have seen Brian Malone do this. I've seen Dwayne Brown do this, and it definitely can add some excitement to the league.
Right.
If you're talking about kind of a dead period, you know, if you're looking at March or June, some of these times where we don't generally see a lot of activity, I think it's a great idea then. I did try something similar in one of my leagues. Basically, I tried to do a required required trade bait type of thing, and it did not work at all.
Yeah.
And the best thing I can say about that is our league as a whole figured out pretty quickly we should walk away from that.
Right. I think it's things like that. Sorry to jump in, but things like that is what's helped us as commissioners over the time, is walking through some of those things that didn't work. And so we have that experience.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like the ESP thing that we were thinking about earlier, if that's something that you're passionate about, that you believe in, that you think could really work, sometimes you just have to try those things. And obviously sometimes they work and sometimes they don't, but that's kind of part of the fun of being a commissioner.
Yeah. Yeah. That's and it does bring that moment of excitement. If it's a thing that, I wonder if this is a thing in this league that they're like, this is how we, you know, you're supposed to do it, like as a replacement to normal trading. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, it's fun for teams to do that kind of thing. Scott and Ryan, have you ever overpaid league winnings by mistake and the one owner who was awarded twice left and now you can't get a hold of him? Rookie commish, $400 mistake. Oh, ouch. I've only done it once. I paid the wrong guy once that I can ever recall in my history. I paid the wrong guy once. They had the same first name. And I sent it to the wrong guy with the same first name. And that guy did not leave the league. That guy is a very good guy. Sent it immediately back and got it corrected. So, yes, but I had no issue with any of the rest of it. So I feel terrible about you. We did get an email from this guy. He did eventually get it resolved. I'm just going to throw that out there because I know that he did email and update, but I don't have that in front of me. So, Ryan, have you ever done this, overpaid or done the wrong guy?
I feel like I probably have overpaid or paid the wrong person, but, you know, I don't even really remember any specifics. So,
yeah.
It's just one of those things. I'm sure it has happened, but it was not an issue. It's never been an issue. And I mean, it just really stinks that these people are out there taking advantage of other people. So hopefully, like you said, he did get it all resolved. Yep. and figured out, because that's, you know, things happen in our leagues like this. I mean, not this costly and not real money, but you know, you accept a trade you didn't mean to, or you accidentally bid too much in an auction. You had an extra zero in an auction. And I mean, those are things, easy mistakes that should be overlooked and corrected.
Yeah. There is a human element to a lot of this stuff, and hopefully your league mates understand that and they're willing to accept a commission intervening and fixing things like that. Okay. I think this is the last tweet and then we'll get to some emails. I'm curious what the Dynasty world thinks. If an owner has a stacked team but is ready to leave a league, should he be allowed to sell the team for a cash sum? I weighed in on this on Twitter in several tweets, but I'll let you start this time, Ryan.
Ooh, I missed your response. I wish I'd seen it. Okay, so I've got experience with this both ways. As a commissioner in my leagues, I make it pretty clear that I'm the one that replaces any open teams.
Me too.
Not only is it not your responsibility to find your own replacement, but I don't want you to find your own replacement.
Exactly.
So that's how I handle it from a commissioner standpoint. So I would say, no, you're not allowed to sell the team. Now, on the other hand, I've been that team before. I had a really good team. I knew I was leaving the league. It was a low money league, but it was a strong contender, to say the least. And I don't know if I had seen this discussed before, because we're talking about, this is probably 7 or 8 or 9 years ago. I mean, this is quite a while ago. But before I did anything, I checked with the commissioner. I let the commissioner know, first of all, I was leaving the league. And I asked basically if I could find my own replacement. I also let him know that I was going to essentially put the team up for auction and take the highest amount. And he was totally okay with that. So I would say, if the commissioner is okay with it, then I'm okay with it. But 99% of the time, I don't think that's going to be the case. And it's just really a commissioner discretion.
That is very, very, very close to what my tweet thread was, that I never allow it. I have rules against it. I'm the one who decides. If your commission is okay with it, then cool. The default should be it's not allowed. And it could be the kind of thing where either the commissioner has to approve the new guy. And if he doesn't approve the new guy, then you have to sell to someone else. Or you could even get down, depending on how close-knit the group, the league is, maybe it's a league vote of approving a new guy and a sale. But it's definitely something you should put in your bylaws that's allowed. I know Ryan and I, for ours, we have... in all of our bylaws, we are the ones that decide new owners. So generally, no. But I can see if you want to put it in your bylaws, or if it has to be approved by the commission, in my opinion. All right, let's jump into some emails. We're only 13 minutes in, Ryan.
Nice.
Yeah. So, man, this is unreal. The amount of emails we get is absolutely unreal, isn't it, Ryan? I mean, you've looked through this list. I think we had 14 pages last time. We have 12 pages this time, and it's font size 12. It's not like it's 32 size font or anything. Oh, these guys. Let's see. I think I'll read the first one here. Hey guys. Love the podcast. First year Dynasty commish and MFL user, having the hardest time with the settings management. You know, I hear this a lot. I love MFL, but I do hear enough that it's, you know, it's a little bit of a learning curve. But once you get through that, man, you're going to learn to love it because of the customizability. He's having troubles with waivers and taxi settings. He sets the waivers to process every Wednesday and Sunday morning. Then during the season, he wants it every Wednesday, then first come, first serve until game time. He has the off season figured out, but he's struggling with how to accomplish his in-game or in-season settings. Wow, it's actually not that difficult. Do you find this difficult to do on MFL? The waiver wire setting page is specifically for in-season. You set that up. And then you go to the transaction calendar and you set up your off-season ones with process waivers and lock players.
Right. I do think it has been a learning curve, right, like you mentioned earlier. And of course, MFL made tons of changes. What was that, 2 years ago, I guess?
Yeah.
And there was a lot of backlash at that point and confusion and waivers running at the wrong time. I mean, I think we all dealt with that, but But yeah, at this point, it's, I don't want to say it is easy, because it is just one of those things that you and I are used to running quite a few leagues. And for a first time commish or first time MFL user, it can certainly be tricky, but yeah, once you get the hang of it, it is pretty smooth.
So Vince, I realize you've already done your off season setup. So I would just let that run until the end of the off season and then use the waiver wire setup page and go through that and click the delete my other settings or whatever. I believe it is at the top, one of the first dropdowns, and you delete old settings and use these and then set up your in-season waivers. That's the best way I can explain to, or the easiest way to do it, I think, with what you've already, if you've already got your off-season set, just wait till right before the season and then set your in-season waivers. Because weirdly on MFL, I think the best way to do it is backwards. And since you already did it with the off-season, I think that's your play. Just use the form, the wizard form that they have right before the season, and you should be good. And for your second question on taxi squad, you want to have a 5-man taxi squad, only demote rookies, but you want players to stay on them for their first two seasons. You have a feeling that that has to be manually tracked, and you are correct. You're going to have to keep an eye on that yourself. Watch over those taxi squads. Make sure people are not, obviously the demoting rookies is a setting, so you're good there, but watching to make sure people take them off every year, that's going to be on you. Thank you guys for the amazing pod. Listen to every episode. That's awesome. Thank you. I should have said at the beginning, but that was Vince from New Orleans, Louisiana, man. Not Louisiana, man, but New Orleans, Louisiana.
I've never been to New Orleans.
I haven't either. See, I'm not really a party guy, so I'm not sure if I'd love it or not. And the types of, you know, like I'm not a Louisiana stuff. I love spicy stuff, so maybe I can find some stuff I like down there.
You don't like gumbo and stuff like that? Not sure.
No, I don't eat soup. It makes me sick. I had soup all the time when I was a kid, when I was six. So now when I eat, like, I haven't eaten soup in years, but every time I tried to eat soup, I like just felt sick because, I don't know, something there. I don't know. You want to do the next one, man?
I will, yes. All right, Scott, our next email comes from Hospice Chaplain Guy from Marshalltown, Iowa. He says he's a second-time emailer, long-time listener. I remember Hospice Chaplain Ryan. Guy.
Yep.
Yeah, that's right. Maybe he wanted to keep that quiet. You never know.
Ooh, we should. All right. Sorry, Ryan. I mean, sorry, Hospice Chaplain Guy.
Right. Okay, so Hospice Chaplain Guy's in a dynasty league 3 years into the league. He is the commissioner, of course. And he just mentions one owner that's in this league. He does what he's supposed to do. He sets lineups. He makes his draft picks and all these things. But just from a personal standpoint, he's horrible to deal with. Anytime something doesn't go his way, a league vote, something like that, he's lashing out. He's cursing out the people in the league and sending these terrible emails. And he specifically mentions that he's come after him as the commissioner a couple times because he was upset with a decision that he made. Even small decisions like waivers and things like that. And he says, as commissioner, what do I do? Can I just kick him out? I say yes. I say maybe give him a warning. I think the email would essentially be, we're in this league to have fun, and the 11 other people are not having fun because of your behavior, essentially. Right. Yeah. And if it continues, we're just going to part ways.
Man, I kind of wonder if this, I feel like, yes, you can obviously kick him out, but you almost want to take a little bit of a pulse of the league as well. But if you're the commish and he's doing this stuff to you, and especially if he's lashing out and using crap language, I feel like it's almost, that's, you know, I actually put in my bylaws, that I have a line, something along the lines of trash talk is okay, but there's a line, et cetera. And it sounds like this guy is way over crossing it. And, you know, for me, maybe I'm just more intolerant than I have been in the past, but guys like that, I usually just, I kick out. Yeah, you absolutely can.
Yeah, I wouldn't have any issue with that either.
All right, let's do another email. This one is from Captain Huggy Face, who we, I love him on Word Girl. Ryan, do you know what Word Girl is?
I think I remember Word Girl. It's been a while.
It's a cartoon where she has like a word of the episode. And
is Captain Huggy Face on there?
Yeah, yeah. Wow. He does a little dance at the end that my son used to love when he was two.
Man, I kind of forgot about Word Girl.
Yeah, yeah. I like it because it actually like teaches you something.
We liked Word World better.
Oh, yes. I went to a Word World event in the Twin Cities here with my son. The pig and the dog were there. It was pretty cool. Word World. Okay. Hey, Scott and Ryan. We recently voted to add a taxi squad to an existing Dynasty League, but having disagreements on what rules should apply. Some owners want to be able to demote rookies to the taxi squad during the season, while others do not. Are you guys in any leagues where teams can demote players to their taxi squad during the season? What are the pros and cons to allowing and prohibiting demoting during the season? You know what? Mine used to not, and now they do, just because I don't want to monitor it. You know, because on MFL, if you allow promotion from the taxi squad, demotion comes with it. So. And I always want to allow promotion. Like if you have a rookie that's blowing up on your taxi squad, you should be able to pull them up and put them in your active lineup. And so demotion comes with that. It's just a commissioner headache to monitor for me. So I allow it now. I guess the cons are people hoarding, you know, picking up rookies off the waiver wire and just demoting them. I guess, I would just allow it because it's more of a commissioner headache personally. Ryan, I know you're not a fan of taxi squads in non-Devy leagues. Do you have an opinion on this one?
Yeah, I think, I guess the cons that stand out to me are, I think about one of my teams I had last year. I had quite a few rookies and it is a contract league. So I wanted to keep as many of those as possible on the taxi squad and just save that extra year or get that extra year out of them. But I had one too many. I knew I was going to have to put one on that active roster and give him a contract. And I know contract leagues are a little bit different than what he's discussing here, but ultimately I chose Dalvin Cook, which of course proved to be the wrong decision because of his injury. And I had Juju Smith-Schuster and Alvin Kamara and some other players, Christian McCaffrey, all on the taxi squad. So allowing in-season demotion essentially is like a mulligan in golf or something. Like it's just allowing you to correct a mistake you made. And for me, I like when you have to force those tough decisions. So I would say you can't demote in season, but I don't think I wouldn't say it's a huge deal either way. I mean, there are certainly some rules, and we kind of talked about these when you joined us on Dynasty Blueprint last week. There are some rules that if those are in place, I'm not playing in that league.
Holy crap, that was last week. It feels like 2 years ago.
but this would not be one of those. I mean, this is not – I don't think it's a huge deal either way.
Exactly. It's not a big deal. It's really not a big deal. The pros and the cons are not strong enough for it to matter, honestly. So personally, I would just go with the easier on the commish option of just letting it happen. But like Ryan said, I mean, there's some negatives to that too. So Captain Huggy Face, I'm just going to read the second one. It's a different email, but he has another one. So I'll just read this too, man. League voted 6-6 in a poll whether we should allow rookies or rookies and second-year players on the taxi squad. As an owner, I also voted, which I think should always happen. If you're a commissioner and you're an owner, I feel like the owner side of you gets to vote. Okay. So voted 6-6, Ryan. This is a very tough one because they need an answer.
Right. Yeah. I mean, if you're talking about a rule change, then obviously a tie would just default to the old rule. The exactly. new rule doesn't pass. But in this, going along with this taxi squad that he's talking about, you've got to have an answer. I guess what I would probably do, first of all, I don't think this is covered in my bylaws. So this is one of those where you're just going to have to make kind of a decision that's best for the league. I guess what I would probably do is have some league discussion about it, start an email chain or a message board post about it, maybe allow a day or two for discussion and then revote.
Yep. I think I'm 100% with you. I think you got to have some discussion, have a revote, see if anything changes. And if it doesn't, as the commish, you got to do what's best for the league. Cause you need an answer in this one. And just to throw my two cents in there, much on the, once again, the commissioner, workload. I don't know how intricate your league is, how much commissioner workload there already is, but MFL's setting, they have a rookies only demoting setting, rookies only on the taxi squad thing. My preference sometimes is just because my leagues have so many moving parts already. My preference is sometimes with something like that, where it really isn't a big deal, go with the side of ease and just say rookies only, because it's easy on the commissioner on MFL, but your call, man. I think you got to discuss, revote. If still a tie, the commission must make a decision which they feel is in best interest of their league.
All right, Scott, our next question comes from Alex from the Northwoods of Wisconsin. Very nice. Ooh, and he says, nice. You guys are performing a valuable service to the growing dynasty world with this pod. Keep it up. Thank you, Alex. We appreciate that. So Alex says, how would you tweak a successful existing dynasty league rule set if you were using it as the basis for a new best ball dynasty league? So here's kind of the background with Alex and this situation. His group of friends, of co-owners in his leagues, have been running a series of salary cap dynasty leagues for the past several years. And every time they start a new league, they try to add a new little wrinkle to the rule set. So everything is going well so far. They've got what sounds like a pretty fun league. 12 owners, $500 cap. So they're doing a salary cap, a max of 3-year contract lengths, which is great. Lots of turnover there, and small rosters, 18-man rosters also creates lots of waiver wire activity, lots of player turnover. And it's also a super flex league, tight end premium league. We love all of that.
No kickers, no defense.
Yeah, exactly. It goes nice. Without saying. Unlimited taxi spots. I know you're all about that.
Two of my leagues, yeah. They work in those.
And their waivers are just a year-round open auction, which
I love that.
I love that. I have not tried that, but I love the idea. I may have to.
I was considering that for Pigs 4.
Yeah, I may have to steal that.
Yep.
So Alex's situation is they're ready to start another new league. They're taking these essentially these same rules, but they want to turn this one into a best ball league, and thinking about what might have to change from this basic set of rules. And Scott, the more I think about it, I'm not sure anything needs to change.
I'm with you. It depends on if you're doing in-season waivers, maybe shut off that clock, that re-around auction.
Right.
But other than that, no, I'm with you.
Yeah, of course, a lot of best ball leagues, certainly redraft best ball leagues, but best ball dynasty leagues as well, you'll see no in-season activity, meaning no waivers, no trades, no nothing, obviously no setting lineups. But I think, I mean, you can run a best ball league and still do waivers as well, or still have trading. So you can just change that lineup setting feature. And
it's easy. Like I said, it's a setting on MFL. It's easy to do.
Alex's league here, it sounds like they have a good group. I love the rule set they have here. I wouldn't change anything other than making it best ball.
Yep, I'm completely with you. It's basically just the same league, only you don't have to, only you're not in charge of setting your lineup. Yeah, that's exactly what I would do. If you like doing the in-season waivers, keep them. You can just set it to, you know, pick my best lineup for me.
Yeah, I do love the idea of a best ball salary cap dynasty. I don't think I have seen that combination yet.
No, that was the first thing that stuck out to me too. I haven't seen a salary cap best ball dynasty at all. Lots of best ball dynasty, never one of those. All right, maybe we got time for one or two more. So, new listener, love this stuff. Oh, Ryan, I did not write down the name on the email, or maybe they didn't leave it. I don't know. New listener, love this stuff. I'm in about 5 leagues, but I care much more about my league of record, which I am the supreme leader of. I think most people care about their, you know, league of record the most. It feels like that's a common thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It is a keeper league and I love the setup, but I love dynasty leagues as well. We all do, but I can't get myself to care as much about my dynasty leagues as I do my league of record. I have been thinking about turning it into 3 leagues, a keeper, a redraft, and a dynasty league. You play the same opponent in each league each week. Either the total score determines a single victory or each one is a victory and we play 36 games each season. The playoffs would be the highest combined score wins the matchup. My first question is, are these all the same rosters in all 3 setups, right? or is it 3 separate leagues? Like, do you have the same players playing in each one? I suppose you couldn't if you're doing a redraft in a keeper and a dynasty. Like, year 2, everything would change. So it has to be 3 separate leagues. Okay. Have you seen a league like this? Yes. It seems like it would allow me to have 3 leagues I care about as much as I do my league record. Have you come across this before? That's kind of the same question. Yes. Downsides. Okay. Sorry for the length. That's actually not long. We get much longer emails that we shorten up. Yes, we have a friend in the industry at Empire FFL, John Bosch, who runs leagues like this. They're actually even more than 3 leagues. I think there's like 6 or 7, right? I think he's got many prongs to them, but he does run those. They seem to run well. People love them. We should almost have him on to answer this question. I don't know what the downsides are, except for activity level of being in that many leagues as being part of one league, having to monitor all that. But I see, you know, if your league is up for it, I say do it. Why not? You might get an instance where everybody still loves the keeper, but it might work. What do you think, Ryan?
Yeah, it comes down to the group of owners you have. Like you basically said there, if you have if you've got 12 good owners together who you know are going to be active in all 3 phases, then I think it's a great idea. I used to even before I was commissioning even any leagues early in my I guess my fantasy football playing days, I remember a league similar to this that was run through Football Guys, through the Football Guys message board. And a group of guys had gotten together and they did 2 leagues, 1 redraft and 1 dynasty that combined into one. So that was the first time I had seen that. I like obviously adding in the keeper aspect, especially since that's what he enjoys most. I say go for it as well.
Yeah. It's your league record is always going to be the one you enjoy the most. I think most people are that way, but this is just sounds like you're trying to make the league record better and include other prongs. Like Ryan said, it depends on the owners. I could see it going either way. I could see you add the 2 prongs and everybody still just loves the keeper and the other 2 are just kind of things you do. And I can also see it being a big thing. So try it. Go for it, man. Did I read that one or did you? I already forgot, Ryan.
You did.
All right. You want to read the next one? Sure. I did read through it already.
I did not.
Yeah.
Scott, our next question comes from Steven. Steven says he's only three episodes in so far, but so we may have covered this. I don't think we have.
No, we
have. Have you ever come across a league where they maintain all-time power rankings? I feel like I probably have seen this out there. I don't do it in any of my leagues. This definitely sounds like something you might have done, Scott, at least in your early days. Steven gives a few more details. Basically, you give points for championships, runner-up, division titles, playoff appearances, wins. You take away points for finishing last. You average them out, and they have a traveling trophy to whoever is the best all-time at that point. I like it. It adds another mm-hmm. wrinkle. It's certainly, I mean, in this episode, we've been talking a lot about trying to make things easy on the commish. This would not be an example of that. This would be a lot of maintenance. Yep. But again, we know Scott that we have a unique perspective in that we commish,
quite literally between us, hundreds of leagues.
Right, right. But even just our own personal leagues, we commish 10 plus leagues. And then when you add in some of our other new work, those numbers jump up. So
right.
If you're focused on one league that is, it's your league and it's your college buddies or your work buddies, and that's all that anybody cares about, then yeah, you can do things like this. And you can do things that that make your league special and unique and stand out.
This is the kind of thing that if this is your main league, this is the kind of thing that the people in your league would just love. I used to keep detailed histories and all-time records and stuff like that, championships for both my home league and SFB. Actually did it for a while. I had a page with you'd have little trophies for, you know, if you'd won a division and a conference finalist, like it would have little trophies on it, like history type stuff. But I never assigned them points and then said, hey, this guy is currently the all-time best franchise and here's a traveling trophy. I never did anything like that. What I did was more like historical, you know. This is pretty interesting idea, and especially if you have a new league or like within the first couple of years, it wouldn't be hard to go back and you know put that together if you're listening and not in Stephen T. Scheffel's league. You could probably do it in yours. That's a pretty interesting idea. Okay, I think maybe that might be it for today's show. Debating whether we should try another one. Let's err on the side of time here and call this one a day. Ryan mentioned a little bit about side work or a little work. This Commission Impossible podcast is part of the DLF family of podcasts, and there are other awesome shows on that feed. You should check it out, dynastyleaguefootball.com/podcast. I believe you can go get all that info. But also, Dynasty League Football has partnered with Safe Leagues, the commissioner service I run, to run a bunch of Dynasty Leagues. And this week, we just added Ryan McDowell as a co-commissioner, me and him. We will be commissioning all these leagues. So if you're looking for a Dynasty League, if you can't find one, we have a bunch open. You can come join. You know, I open them, open new ones every week. You can come join one. Me and Ryan are the commish. You can, if you can't find 11 friends to get together to do Dynasty League, it's a perfect place to go, go check one out. So just want to throw that out there, safeleagues.com. Anything else, Ryan? Are we good?
I think we're good.
Yeah, let's get on out of here. So for myself, at ScottFish24 on Twitter, and Ryan McDowell at RyanMC23 on Twitter. Both of our numbers are after baseball players, correct?
Mine is, yeah.
Mine is too, Ken Griffey Jr. Yours is
Don Mattingly. The best. Don Mattingly, yeah.
Wow, that's awesome. Same era too, kind of, pretty much. Yeah, mainly is a little earlier, but they intersected a little there.
Yeah, yep.
All right, so thanks for listening. Have a great day.